Hi, I'm Ryan Michael Page. Let's embark on another journey on Christus Vincit Podcasting. Podcast episode number 15. Quindecim. Hello and welcome to our special snow edition of the Christus Vincit Podcast. Yes, believe it or not, here it is 10:36 a.m. as I record this. And it is snowing like mad out there. We have about a foot. I was just out there shoveling about a half an hour ago with the guy upstairs. And it's been about a foot and it's still going. Today is Sunday, February 12th, 2006. The birth of one of the greatest presidents in U.S. history, Abraham Lincoln. And also, most important on our sacred calendar, today is the sixth Sunday of Ordinary Time. And today's gospel is about the leper who was made clean. Here in the snow edition, obviously, I'm home today due to the massive snow that's out there right now. We did have 4:30 mass last night, so I can do a run-through of what we sang last night. Half of the choir even came and joined me, anticipating last night. We had a crowd and a half. Matter of fact, you think our Christmas vigil is packed. You should have seen it last night. We had about 50 people or more standing. This, by the way, gives it an all-new meaning to the words anticipated mass. Anyways, the music last night, on the most part, was a repeat of last week with an exception of a couple of pieces. The opening hymn was O God, I'll Help in Ages Past. It's a Psalm 90-based text written by Isaac Watts. The tune is called Saint Anne, written by William Croft. The responsorial psalm setting was, I turn to you, O Lord, in time of trouble, and you fill me with the joy of salvation. That's a long one. In fact, just before Mass, just to be safe, I taught it to the people to make sure they got it. They did it quite well. Better than the usual Saturday crowd. They did very well with it. The setting was one that I wrote. And the offertory, the Edwin Hatch text, O Breathe on Me, O Breath of God, set to the tune St. Columba, traditional Irish tune, and very often that tune is used with a more familiar text, The King of Love, My Shepherd Is. And the music for the rest of the Mass was very much the same as last week's. The communion was exactly the same, Gift of Finest Wheat, and the closing hymn, Jesus, the Very Thought of You. We did that one as well. And for the rest of the Mass, it was exactly the same as last week. If you want to get a rundown of that anyways, feel free to go back to podcast number 13. And everything's listed there. Okay, on today's show, we're going to go through the rest of the Tridentine versus Normativa. And today we're going to be covering seasons and feasts, comparing when the dates are and stuff like that. And then we're going to have music by Nun, explanations later on the name. And we're also going to have a top 10 list. But first, let's go eavesdrop on a bar fight.
It's the Catholic Bar Fight!
A theological version of a knife fight in a phone booth.
Fight, hit him again!
I'm going to have to bring out the big guns.
Fire away! This is Vatican II.
Let me go get it while you talk.
No, you don't even know where it's at.
You need to put these microphones in the next room because the levels are so high.
It's the testosterone flowing, baby.
Okay, the big guns. I'm bringing out the big guns. But where's my big guns?
Bring them out. Bring them out, baby.
Can I talk?
Go ahead, fire away.
What were we just talking about?
You're driving me crazy! I mean, this is Vatican II.
Okay, well,
and I'm going to find it for you, and it's going to stun you.
But, you know, he's going to stun me.
Oh, yeah, I've been stunning you all night.
So all he has to do is use his stun gun. I'm going to use my fists, because, I mean, that's the old-fashioned way. He's a modernist when it comes to violence. Can I talk?
Go ahead, fire away.
I just lost it. Let me go get it while you talk.
No, you don't even know where it's at. You know, Ben, one thing I was thinking.
What's that, Kevin?
We look at the two masses.
They're not two masses.
Oh, come on, Ben. That's like saying that a 63 Volkswagen Bug is the exact same thing as a Mercedes-Benz.
Okay, well, they're two versions of the same mass.
Ben, in a 1,000 years. What differences were there?
I'm sorry, I just had a taste of really cold.
In 1,000 years.
Coagulated.
What differences
chocolate.
Were there?
Let's start again, sorry.
It's the Catholic bar fight! Putting my knife away.
If you want to be a fly on the wall for the rest of this bar fight, then you need to go to catholicbarfight.libsyn.com. That's catholicbarfight.libsyn.com. On our last episode, we did a side-by-side comparison of different things in the Tridentine Mass compared to the Missa Normativa or the Novus Ordo Missae. There's a few other things I'd like to go over, a few more comparisons I'd like to make. And this isn't so much within the Mass itself, but seasons and feasts, the actual calendars between the two. One thing I did forget during the Mass, and I'm going to add this in right now, is the sequences. The Tridentine Mass, there was a required sequence at Easter, a required sequence at Pentecost, a required sequence for Corpus Christi, and a required sequence for the funeral Masses. And these are all sung, by the way, after the Alleluia or tract, depending on what you're celebrating. Matter of fact, funeral Masses back then didn't have the Alleluia, they had the tract. And that was even if it was outside of Lent. Now, the Missa Normativa sequence is mandatory at Easter, mandatory at Pentecost, optional at Corpus Christi. Whoa! And on top of that, some people even, when they do sing it, they'll cut it in half. They'll sing like the last four verses. And then that Dies Irae sequence dropped from the funeral Mass, well, on paper anyways. It hasn't been suppressed completely, we'll put it this way. Another move that was made was that now the sequence is sung before the Alleluia instead of after it. However, there has been talk at one point or another about wanting to revert the sequence back to after the Alleluia. That hasn't happened yet. It's been a while since those talks went about. I think it's pretty much faded. And now in the seasons, Tridentine Mass, Advent, Christmas, Epiphany, Post-Epiphany, Septuagesima, Lent, Holy Week, Easter, Ascension, Pentecost, and Post-Pentecost. In today's Mass, Advent, Christmas, Epiphany, Ordinary Time, Lent, Holy Week, Easter, Ascension, Pentecost, Ordinary Time, and even the dates. Some of these dates have different names to them, too. It's quite interesting. January 1st, we'll start right with the very beginning of the regular calendar. January 1st, circumcision of our Lord back then. Now, of course, Mary, Mother of God. Or the Votive Mass, World Day of Prayer for Peace. The sequence of Sundays and feasts that follow January 1st. Back then, if the Sunday fell between January 2nd to January 5th, it was the Holy Name of Jesus. January 6th was the fixed date of Epiphany, regardless of what day it fell in the week. Any Sunday after January 6th, Holy Family. The Mass as we know it now, the Sunday around January 6th is the Epiphany. And in 9 out of 10 cases, Baptism of the Lord follows on the Sunday after. February 2nd, now there's one. Matter of fact, I think we discussed this in our last podcast. Back then, the purification of Mary. Now, the presentation of the Lord. And of course, Mass starts the same way with the procession and the candles. And now, here's something I found really interesting. The last three Sundays before Ash Wednesday. Now, of course, the Mass as we know it now, they're simply just Sundays of ordinary time. The Gloria and Alleluia, of course, are still used right up until Fat Tuesday. In the Tridentine Rite, yes, the 1962 Missal you had, this was that little mini-season called Septuagesima. It's kind of like a little Lent before Lent, if you want to think of it, the fact that the Gloria is already omitted. and the tract replaces the Alleluia. And these are three Sundays. They call them Septuagesima, Sexagesima, and Quinquagesima. So what they're really celebrating is instead of 40 days before Easter, they're celebrating, well, roughly 70. Just before Holy Week here, the last two Sundays after the fourth Sunday of Lent, we'll go that way. The last two Sundays after Lent 4. Of course, now we know them as the fifth Sunday of Lent and Palm Sunday in that order. Back then, it was the first and second Sundays of the Passion, although all the Palm Sunday festivities were on that second Sunday of the Passion. Wednesday and Holy Week, that's how we know it now. Back then, it used the name Spy Wednesday. And in some circuits, that name Spy Wednesday is coming back. I've been making it known. I've been reminding people of that term. I kind of like it. It's kind of cute. Of course, why did we call it Spy Wednesday? That was the day when Judas was put up to betraying the Lord. And I've been known to walk around the sacristy on a given Wednesday and Holy Week and say, "Hey, happy Spy Wednesday," just to let them know that name still exists. Now the Sunday after Easter. Of course, now it's been declared by Pope John Paul II as Divine Mercy Sunday, the second Sunday of Easter. And back in the Tridentine calendar, it was Low Sunday, or Quasimodo Sunday, named after, of course, the first Latin word of the introit of the day. And notice the way the Sundays are numbered after Easter now. We have, in our current calendar, the Sundays of Easter, which, of course, the Sunday after Easter, starting with second Sunday of Easter, third Sunday of Easter, etc., etc., etc. Back then, it was the first Sunday after Easter, second Sunday after Easter, all the way up. So their numbers were like one lower than what the current numbers are, using the word after instead of. And then, of course, there's the placement of Good Shepherd Sunday. Back then, Good Shepherd Sunday fell on the Sunday after Low Sunday, that is the second Sunday after Easter, which we now know as the third Sunday of Easter. You know, it's a little confusing, huh, this after and of bit. In the Mass, we know it now. Good Shepherd Sunday is on the fourth Sunday of Easter, which, of course, back then was the third Sunday after Easter. Now, the Sunday after the Ascension is an interesting one. Back then, of course, it was simply called Sunday in the Octave of the Ascension. It was like Ascension had its own little season, really. The Sunday in the Octave of Ascension. And the Mass, we know it now, and of course, at one time in all dioceses, I'm going to say up until the late 80s anyways, Ascension was always on the Thursday after the sixth Sunday of Easter, which meant the following Sunday was the seventh Sunday of Easter. Now, there are many dioceses in the United States that are celebrating Ascension on what was the seventh Sunday after Easter. So in that case, the Sunday after their Ascension is Pentecost. Corpus Christi. Here's a good one. Right now, we celebrate it on the Sunday after Trinity. Of course, now that feast was, the name of it was dumbed down to the body and blood of Christ. Probably just to eliminate the Latin. I don't know why. I still call it Corpus Christi. I don't care. And then, back then, Corpus Christi was celebrated on the Thursday after the Trinity. July 1st, 1962, was the Feast of the Precious Blood. In 1964, it was the day I was born. Okay. Off topic, but okay. In the Mass, we know it today. It's just another weekday in ordinary time. Last Sunday of October, Tridentine Mass, last Sunday of October, was when we celebrated Christ the King. Now, just another Sunday in ordinary time, usually the 30th or 31st Sunday. And now the last Sunday before Advent, in the Mass we know it today, is Christ the King. And back in 62, it was just the last Sunday after Pentecost. And last but not least, the Sunday that follows Christmas. Remember I mentioned at the very beginning of this topic that the Sunday after January 1st, if it fell after the Epiphany, was the Holy Family in the 1962 Missal? Well, in the current Missal, Holy Family is celebrated on the Sunday after Christmas. That is, if that Sunday after Christmas is not January 1st. And in a Tridentine liturgy, it's just simply called Sunday in the Octave of Christmas. I have in my left hand the top 10 list for today.
Top 10.
Today's top 10 list is brought to you by the Walmart Chapel. Yes, the new Walmart Chapel. Open for services all day Sunday. You can do your shopping on Sunday anytime you want. Brought to you by CatholicNews.org. From the home office in Pawtucket, Rhode Island, I have the top 10 least popular places to write a hymn. Number 10, at your not-so-musically-involved day job. Number 9, sitting on a bench in front of your local Haagen-Dazs. Number 8, sitting on any bench while eating Haagen-Dazs. Number 7, the bathroom. Number 6, in a court of law, on the defendant's chair. Number 5, at a Roman toga party while sharing a bong with your friends. Number 4, at the checkout line in a liquor store.
Alrighty.
Number 3, on a McDonald's bench with a giant Ronald McDonald's right arm around you. Number 2, in Wendy's while eating chili. By the way, if you must write your hymn there, make sure all your fingers are intact afterwards.
Ew!
And the number 1 least popular place to write a hymn, the Burger King drive-thru.
Ew!
And now for some music. Here is None. That short piece you just heard was called A Tale, and written by None. Yes, this band was listed as None, N-O-N-E, and they appear courtesy of the PodSafe Music Network, which you can access at music.podshow.com.
Hi, this is Father Jay Finelli from iPadre Catholic Podcast.
iPodre.
Interviews, stories, news, music, all things Catholic and then some. Drop by our site at iPodre.net. That's iPadre.net. God love you.
iPodre.
I'm Brian Michael Page, and I approve this message.
Christos BGT is a podcast, Catholic song and liturgy. It's the things we like to speak of, and some good clean fun happening. Vote for us at Podcast Alley. Do you know the reason, y'all? For young Christos BGT sent here, for Christ always conquers all.
Gotta love that Christus Vinci Leprechaun. Loves to play around with my machines. But he got the message right. Go down to Podcast Alley and vote for Christus Vinci. Help us spread the word around.
Amen.
Okay. I got some good news. In only 10 days, in the month of February, and we managed to garner up 5 votes at Podcast Alley. We are already up to the entire month of January. And that is great. Keep up the good work. You know, if you haven't voted yet, go down to podcast.christosvinci.net, scroll down to our sidebar where it says Podcast Alley, just click on that and cast your vote. It's very easy and something you're only going to do once a month. And the more you vote on us, the more our presence gets known, and the more we can baptize your earbuds with the likes of guys like these.
Disciples with Microphones. Individual podcasters united with a single goal: to live the new evangelization. Bringing truth to podcasting through shows such as these.
Welcome to the Weekly Roman Observer, our news commentary on the Holy Father's newspaper.
I'm Father Sarah from Bishoner, host of Catholic Under the Hood.
I am Father Stephen Cuyus, a Filipino missionary of the Sacred Heart.
My name is Greg Willett.
And I'm Jennifer.
And we welcome you once again to the Rosary Army Podcast.
This is Brian Noe from the Verbum Domini Podcast.
This is Michael Kreidler from the Breadcast.
Dick Loris, and welcome to Going Four. This is your host, George Lee.
Welcome to CatholicJukebox.com presents Catholic Rockers.
This is the Catholic Cast.
True Knights Combat Training. Podcasting for Purity.
The Catholic Mormon Podcast. I'm Rob.
I'm Sarah.
My name is Lisa Marrero, and blessed to be Catholic.
DisciplesWithMicrophones.org. Baptize your earbuds.
Christus Vincit is also a member of the Christus Vincit Network. And now we have subdomains. So in addition to our regular www.christusvincit.net, which is the gateway to pretty much all our sites in the network, we have cvmusic.christusvincit.net, which is short for Christus Vincit Music, and this is all the this features the original music that I have written. And then there's also hgmusic.christusvincit.net, and that is the Holy Ghost Music Ministry, where you can access everything from Meet the Music Director to our music lists for the week. We even have a couple of music ministry newsletters in PDF form that you can check out. Have some. We have a sight and sound page from the choir. It's quite nice. And then, of course, you have podcast.christusvincit.net, which is our new subdomain for this podcast. And last but not least, the blog is still in the same spot as christusvincit.blogspot.com. Check it out, especially recently. There's been some pretty good articles in here. One of them I added on yesterday. Was a very busy day for the blog. We added on how to fix the liturgy, and this was a link from another blog called Pontifications. And on a funny note, we even have some more parodies on liturgical song, and this appeared on a blog called Pertinacious Papist, and it was five parodies, and sure enough, on those big hits from Glory and Praise. And recently there's been a thing about hypocrisy in the New York Times, and this was sent to Nick Bashaw, my blogging partner, which he had posted. And if you want a copy of our top 10 list for today, you can find that in the blog too. Nick has also posted an article on chant in the liturgy, and this is one of our busiest articles. It's generated 11 comments. Quite nice. So check out the blog by all means, christusvincit.blogspot.com. And join us again for more Christus Vincit podcasting to come. I'm Brian Michael Page. Peace.
Christus regnat, Christus imperat.